It's time for the Coaches Show, an in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to the Coaches Show. Week 8 of the high school football season in the books for the Blair Oaks Falcons, the Helias Crusaders, and the Jefferson City Jays. Here are your results from last night. First of all, at Atkins Stadium in a key district game between Columbia Battle and Jefferson City, the Battle Spartans win by a score of 39-21. At Henschel Stadium, the Helias Crusaders defeat Sedalia Smith-Cotton last night to claim the conference title, as they beat the Tigers by a score of 45-3. And then on the road last night in a key Tri-County Conference game between a pair of undefeated teams, the only two left in Tri-County Conference play undefeated, as the Blair Oaks Falcons met the Southern Boone Eagles, and Blair Oaks wins by a score of 42-21. And joining us is Falcons head football coach Ted LaPace. Congratulations on the win last night.
Thank you, Kevin. Big one for us.
Yeah, we talked about that. You were the only two teams left in the Tri-County Conference undefeated on the season in a pair of ranked teams. And to top everything else off, you had a situation where both teams are in the same district.
It was a huge game. And I think people underestimate Southern Boone. They were, the record 4-2. People don't look at who they played and who they beat and who they've lost to. In the first game of the year, they played Odessa, who's the reigning reigning state champ, with being number two ranked. And if you watch the second half, Southern Boone really won that football game. There were some things that went wrong in the first half, and it was a one-score game right up till the end. So, you know, there's some very good play from them. And then last week, they just got behind a really, really good team in Kansas. We knew coming in as coaches that this was a dangerous, dangerous football team. Very big, very physical. And I felt like they were going to be up to the challenge. And last night, they really were. They pulled out all the stops. They did everything right. Had a lot of good success. But as true to form, our players just played and continued to be consistent and did all the things we needed to do also. So it was a very quality win for us last night.
You know, and Southern Boone's a good football program, and yet I think last night's win continues a streak for you. I don't think you've ever lost to the Eagles on the football field, have you?
Well, we didn't lose last night. I know that. So that's a good thing, and we'll keep that in mind as we move forward. We'll see these guys again. I think this is going to be a situation where we're going to see them again. I think we're going to learn a lot from film this morning of things they saw that they attacked on us, and ways we can prevent it and the ways we can best move forward. Because I think one thing we're really good at Blair Oaks with our players is adapting to what people try to do to us. Our players are extremely proud of the way they play, the way they represent, and they'll see some things on film and ways to correct it, and they'll correct it next week on the practice field. That's one thing I have no doubt about. That's one of the reasons for the success here, is the quality of young men that come through this program and the pride they take in bettering themselves every week.
You know, Greg Jackson of the Jefferson City News Tribune Sports Department wrote an article about the game last night, and I believe he said it was the 500th game in the history of Blair Oaks Falcons football for 45 years.
He asked me about that earlier this week and said, you know, what does it mean? And I said, that's a really tremendous honor for not only the football program, but the community. This program started, a lot of people who started this program are still around. They still come to the games. They still come support the team. This is a big, big sport to this community. This is a big sport to our administration, to our faculty, to our staff. And I think every day we come to work, I'm sitting here right now, I want to come represent what this community is proud of, and that's blue collar hard work and just having pride in what you do. It's not always winning the game, but it's winning the game the right way, and I think that's one thing that Blair Oaks has consistently done. There's no black eyes, there's nothing. It's just every time, I used the example last night, the official on our sideline turned around and said, it's always an honor to do one of your all's games. You all have such a class program and such class kids. And that starts with first of our community and then our administration and then right down through the faculty and through the students and through to the parents that represent all these players all these years.
With the win last night, again, 42-21 victory over Southern Boone. With the win last night, you clinched at least a tie for the conference title. You can win it outright next Friday night at home against Osage, and that would be your, I think, sixth straight conference title.
well, Kevin, if you know anything about myself or about some of the people out here, you think we're going to be satisfied with a share? That's not what we're here for. We're here to go win that doggone thing, and we'll go to work this morning to try to represent the opportunity to win that next week. So, yes, it guarantees a share, but we want nothing part of a share. We want to be the outright champs.
You know what? I think if we go back to the coaches show back a year, I bet you said the same thing then, didn't you?
I don't think there's anything in my DNA that says about sharing. Now, when it comes to football, wins. We want to win the game, that's for sure, and we'll do everything we can. We got to do things to make sure we stay safe, though. This is a really weird time. We had some things creep up on us this week with our coaches, and we got to just make sure that we prepare and get ready for everything. But we got to get our kids safely to tomorrow. This pandemic is really a work in every hour. It seems like everything changes. So hats off to the parents and players and administration here, because it's an opportunity every day to learn something new.
Yeah, it changes every day too, doesn't it?
Oh my goodness. You know, just from what you learn and what you've got to do, I couldn't imagine being a high school student right now and trying to be the best high school student you can be and do it safely. It's a hard for them. So hats off to the players that, you know, have to come every day and have to go through rules just to play and be a student athlete.
Last night in the ball game, you got on the board first at the touchdown pass from Dylan Hare to Jake Closter. Closter had a big night for you, didn't he?
You know, Jake, I laugh because he's a baller. And I hate to use that term. That sounds so cliche, but he is. Last night, the ball was probably a 50-50 ball, and Jake just went up, snagged it, and then broke the tackle and took off. Dylan does such a good job of finding him, putting in a position where he can win. And then Jake just played the rest of the night like Jake normally does. But, well, you know, you've got all the other people that go into it, and our offensive line did a tremendous job. Our other receivers did a tremendous job. And running back did a great job. But Jake had a heck of a night. He wanted to. I think he was a little offended by Blake Dapkus coming into the game, getting all the publicity and us talking him up so much. He said, I want to, and he told one of our coaches, I want to go show that I'm a good receiver too. And I think last night he did.
Yeah, you mentioned it just a second ago. It's a 61-yard touchdown pass from Hare to Closter, and Closter kind of climbed the ladder to get that one, didn't he?
He did. Again, Dylan put it in a good position, and they had great coverage on Jake. They did, a tremendous job of high-lowing Jake, but Jake finds ways to make plays, and when he does, it makes us a better football team. It opens up Kobe Marble. It opens up Cade Stockman and Levi Haney and Ian Nolf, and it always opens up on the other side Carson Pringer. So we're just really pleased with what Jake does and how he tilts the field for us.
You know, after you get up 7-0, your defense gives you the ball right back in a short field. It's an interception by Jake Closter.
He turned around, plays on the other side of the ball just as well as he does on, the offensive side. That one I really did. It was on the far side. I thought he was going to take that all the way. I think he just barely stepped out of bounds. Our defense, when we have been creating turnovers now, they're really looking for ways to score, and that's one thing that I keep applauding out of our defense is when you do something on defense and you try to score on defense, that's taking not only a possession away from the offensive side, it's adding an offensive possession to us. And if we can score on it, that really in high school football is hard to overcome for an offense.
So in the first half, you have two touchdown runs by Dylan Hare, your quarterback. He throws two touchdown passes to Jake Closter. You're up 27-7 at the half, but you knew that Southern Boone would not go away.
It became interesting in the second half, to say the least. They came out and they just ran a squib kick. And as much as I hate to admit it, we don't say anything about it. We don't preach about it. We were playing on grass last night, and the ball, when they squibbed it, it was actually three of our guys tried to scoop the ball. It's something we work on in practice. It really infuriates me because it's something so easy to just land on that football and cover it up. But the thing's oblong, and that's the reason that football's a great sport, because it doesn't bounce right. And went through three different Blair Oaks players, and they recovered on our 30-yard line, got momentum, had a short field, went down and scored, and all of a sudden we're in a doggone good football game. And I think if we have the opportunity again. We fall on the ball. We go up 34-7. It's a different story, but a lot of lessons learned through that last night, and a lot of lessons about just the little things in a game that can change the momentum in high school football. And that is a huge teaching moment for us this morning on film of how don't take it for granted. Cover that ball up. It is important.
You know, they had a couple opportunities in the second half to really get close in the ball game, and your defense didn't let them do it.
No, we played a bend but don't break defense last night. Again, there were some things beyond our control last week, but I thought our defensive players responded very well. There was opportunities they took that just kept moving the ball and moving the chains. But when we got situations, it seemed like our players would bow their necks and stand up and make plays. I think we tried to stay very vanilla last night. They had a very big physical offensive line, and I, not being underestimating that, I'd say a couple of their guys in their offensive line approached the 300-pound mark, but weren't sloppy-looking guys. They were good football players. They just ran right at us and had some success there, and then they were able to throw the ball. And I know when people play us, they're going to raise their level of play. There were three catches last night that I have seen probably outside of St. Genevieve Valley of people do to us. They were just tremendous plays by them. You kind of just tip your hat and go to the next play, and that's what our players did. They never stopped. They kept making them line up, kept making them go again. We didn't allow them to have the big play, and we came up with great stops when we needed them.
You have Osage on Friday night at the Falcon Athletic Complex. They are 3-5 on the season. The Indians can score. The Indians give up points.
They are probably the most prolific scoring team in our conference. They really are. When you look at their scores, they are scoring on everybody from every angle. They've got a really nice quarterback. They got some really good receivers, really good running game. I'm trying to figure out for the life of me what's happening to them on defense. They do give up a lot of points. It's something that we don't want to get in a shootout, but we're going to have to make sure every time we touch the ball we score, because they are that dangerous on the offensive side of the ball. They just score and score in bunches, but they do seem to give it up a lot of points. We can't take that for granted that that's going to happen. We're going to have to work this week to make sure that when we touch the football, we do score next week, because it's going to be a high scoring affair. They just you can't stop their offense. They've got a Division I offensive lineman, quarterback's really good, running back's really good, and they have really good receivers.
They beat Versailles last night by a score of 43-21. Talk about scoring a lot of points. 63 points against Fulton, 41 against Eldon, 50 against Hallsville, 43 against Versailles. Giving up points, though, 49 they gave up to Moberly, 43 to California, 78 to Hallsville, 55 to Boonville, and 48 to O'Fallon Christian. You mentioned the quarterback very quickly. Brock McLaughlin's a pretty good one, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's really dynamic. He runs around the games we've have of him, of teams we've played before. He'll run around, you know, 7, 8, 9 seconds. He'll give up ground, but then he has such a good arm. He's able to make that ground back up with the strength of his arm. So we've got to try to keep him in the pocket, keep him from scrambling around and finding open receivers down the field.
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. Good luck on Friday night against Osage.
Thank you, Kevin.
Hi, Blair Oaks Falcons head football coach Ted LePage back with more after the break. The Coach's Show on KWOS.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Now is the time to prepare the money you've saved in your 401k or deferred comp plan to work for you for the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Let Greg help make your retirement everything you imagined. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Through flooding and a tornado that struck the heart of Missouri, to a virus that continues to impact our lives, ABC 17 News and Storm Track Weather are here for you. Morning to night, 7 days a week, we're tracking and alerting, committed to keeping you informed, with complete coverage of stories impacting our community right now, and live updates on recovery and progress. When it affects mid-Missouri, we're here for you. ABC 17 News and Storm Track Weather.
MITMO 2020, Sergeant Storm and his Bad Weather Battalion have formulated a new way to deal water damage to the homes of mid-Missouri, where the citizens least expect it. They're siding. This looks like a job for Hodges Roofing and Siding and the Grey Panther!
This is Greg A. Hodges, a.k.a. the Gray Panther. I'll spec your siding for free and give you my bestimate for replacement if needed.
Hodges Roofing, home of the Gray Panther since 1976.
Cold weather. Ironically, it burns you. Trying to keep your house warm dries out the air and makes your throat scratchy. Your sinuses itchy and your skin dry.
Hey, Emma, my face feels like old dried leather. Again.
Uncomfortable.
At AirServe, we believe the air you breathe should be comfortable and clean. Bring your home to the perfect humidity level with a humidifier from AirServe and keep your skin looking and feeling like a baby's bottom.
Comfortable.
Visit AirServe.com and make an appointment today.
My skin is so soft.
Oscar's Classic Diner is one of the cleanest restaurants around. This means you can still enjoy your Denver omelet served with melted cheese, diced ham, and fresh veggies. And for lunch, enjoy your ciabatta chicken club, lightly breaded chicken breast topped with thick bacon and melted Swiss cheese. So if you had any reservations about dining out, good news, no reservation necessary. The servers would love to see you. Oscar's Classic Diner, fast, casual, safe, made from scratch.
Ain't nothing like it.
I'm not the hunting type, but I can't say I never killed a deer. In my defense, this one didn't give me much choice when it ran out in front of my car.
Hi, this is Tanner Kemna with Kemna Collision Repair. You can't always choose what collides with your vehicle, but you can choose where you take it for repair. And when you choose Kemna, we will handle the claims process for you, regardless of the insurance company. We'll take good care of you. Let our family give peace of mind to yours. KemnaCollision.com.
Kemna Collision Repair.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. Last night at Atkins Stadium, it was Columbia battle over Jefferson City by a score of 39-21. And joining us is Jays head football coach Scott Bailey. Coach, you take a look at this football game, and I thought both teams played very well last night. It was a good football game to watch.
For me, it was a little bit of a roller coaster. Started off, hit the big run to start the game, and it just kind of seemed like whoever had the emotion had the advantage, and it was up and down throughout the game.
You take a look. You get the ball first last night, first play from scrimmage, and David Bethune goes 69 yards for the touchdown. 17 seconds in the ball game, you're up 7-0. Tell us about that play, because it looked to me to be a direct snap back to David, and I don't think that Columbia Battle was looking for it. I thought it was a great call.
I thought that our offensive line did a really good job of getting the inside block. David hit it up inside really hard, forced the defensive end to miss, and then we got guys that run really well. So if we can get them to level three, good things can happen. We get to level three, we get a couple key blocks downfield and days down the sideline. So it was a great way to start the game. It gave us a huge energy boost. And like I said, for me, it was more of a roller coaster type of game. It just couldn't, because energy was up and down. And sometimes, that's hard to overcome sometimes. When you play at such a high level and low level of energy throughout the course of the game, sometimes it's better just to play at a more consistent level.
Last night against Columbia Battle, your offense gave them, I thought, a number of different looks. You had Seth Brooks in at quarterback. You brought Kevion Pendleton in at quarterback. You ran a reverse with Daryl Jones. You threw a deep pass downfield with Kevion Pendleton, almost hooking up with Daryl Jones on a touchdown. So you gave them a number of different looks last night, I thought, on offense.
We're blessed with a number of skilled players, and with Kevion taking some quarterback reps, it's more out of necessity than it is anything else. Our backup quarterback got quarantined, and you never want to go into a game with just one guy, that's taking snaps back there. So we put a package in for Kevion to go in and play some quarterback, partly because of the necessity that, through the COVID quarantine, we need to have somebody ready to take some more snaps in case something happens. Kevion's on the field for us quite a bit, playing defense and all their special teams, so we just put a package in and tried to utilize, some of the athletes that we got in our program to see how we can get them the ball.
Last night in the second quarter, you get two touchdown runs from Jake Duke from a yard out. And in one of those series, just a tremendous catch by Devin White on a pass that was inside the 5-yard line. I don't know how he caught that. It looked like that the defender had his back to the quarterback and was basically covering White from the standpoint of not being able to try to get the ball. Somehow White gets it, and you get the ball at the one, and then you score.
The first one, we get the turnover, and that's probably the the one thing different from a week ago is our defense took the ball away, and our offense actually put points on the board. And if you can get, if we can get our team in sync to where what the offense is doing complements what the defense is doing, and our special teams are building field position for both, I think we can have a lot of success going into the last part of our season. And so when the defense took the ball away and the guys in our offense ends up sticking in the end zone scoring, it's kind of building that, I don't know what you call it, Kevin, they're building that sink.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time we get behind the chains, and that's something that we know our offense knows we can't do. That, you know, and it's not just our offense, it's probably any offense. If you want to stay successful, you got to stay on the chains and stay in second and manageable third and short. We got behind the chains, and we've been working with him in a number of different positions this year, and we had him back out of receiver. Everybody, I mean, if you were on our sideline, Devin made that catch, there were a number of people that expect him to do that. And I might be one of them, but you see him make plays like that to the point where that's what you expect him to be able to do. And even until you go back and watch it on film, you go, wow, that is remarkable how he positioned himself to get that ball. But he does it, you know, in his career here, he's done it on such a regular basis that there's actually kind of a feeling on our sideline that, well, that's what we expect.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you got to go back and go, wow, that was pretty special. So if we can get David running it and Devin catching it and Kevion involved and Seth taking care of our skill players and DJ involved and Marshawn, if we can get, and then the five guys up front, I thought, well, I'll tell you one thing. I was on them pretty hard this week after the last game. I didn't feel like, I thought for the first time this year, our offensive line took a step back. Maybe it's because Elias, you know, was so good that it exposed some of the stuff in us. But I was on our offensive line this week pretty hard about, you know, we got to be able to do our job so that we can run the ball, set up our pass game. Well, at some point during the week, I was getting on to him. I said, at what point are one of you going to just stand up and say, run behind me and we'll be fine?
Mm-hmm.
On the second quarter, we're in a third and short situation, and I look out on the field, and all five of our offensive linemen are tapping their hips, saying, run behind me, and we'll get this. And so, for me, I kind of felt like this week our offensive line took a step forward, and coaches can make that general statement all the time, but I'll tell you how they took a step forward. They took ownership, and they took ownership, and this is what I want to do to help our team be successful, help our offense be successful. And so I'm hoping I know we didn't win the game last night, and everybody feels terrible about it.
Coach, I'm going to bring you back after the break, if that's okay. We're going to take a break at the bottom of the hour. We'll come back and continue our conversation, okay?
Big decision. Supreme Court nominee.
The world is moving faster than ever.
2020.
This is about the future.
To win the election.
If you want to keep up, you want to stay up to date. No matter where you are.
At work. On the job site.
Or what you're doing.
Catching up on a giant honey-do list.
When I go to pick up the kids from school.
On air. On air. Online. And on your smart device.
So much misinformation out there.
To be aware of what's going on, period.
That it's even more important to stay informed.
104.5 News Radio 950 KWOS.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Now is the time to prepare the money you've saved in your 401k or deferred comp plan to work for you for the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Let Greg help make your retirement everything you imagined. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
the KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We continue our conversation with Jefferson City Jays head football coach Scott Bailey. Coach, last night in the second quarter, late in the quarter, you get the lead at 21-20. Let's talk about that drive. It's a 63-yard drive. 15 plays. You took almost 5.5 minutes off the clock. And it's Jake Duke in the end zone from a yard out with a minute 15 left to go in the first half. And it looked like you were going to go into the locker room with the lead.
Yeah, that was a drive that I was talking about before the break. And, you know, coaches, and I'm probably as bad as anybody, Kevin, about just being general and not saying anything in detail. But, you know, coaches say, hey, I feel like our offensive line improved. I'll tell you how specifically I think they improved. I think they took ownership in what we're trying to do last night. And that was a big improvement over the week before. And on that drive, we had a number of third and short plays to get a first down and a fourth down. And one time I looked out there, and all five of our offensive linemen are tapping their hips saying, run behind me and we'll get this.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start to see guys, and I don't think it was just, I don't think it was false. I think it was true. They were saying, if you run behind me, you know, we will get this. And we put that drive together and score. Now, every coach, you know, if you look at it from a fan's point of view, sometimes a fan thinks the most important drives are maybe those drives they see at the end of the game. Most coaches will tell you the most important drives in a football game are the last one right before halftime and the first one coming out after halftime. Right before halftime, battle's offense gets it done, and then we come out right after halftime, and we don't. We stall out. We got behind the chains again and didn't convert and had to give the ball back to them. So if you're looking at the two most important drives of a football game, the one right before halftime and the one coming out right after halftime, I told our kids at halftime, you know, kick off, do your job, defense, get the ball back, offense, put it in the end zone, we got a lead. Everybody's been on the field, everybody's had their opportunity, and now we're ahead. We come out after halftime, kick off, does their job, defense gets us the ball back, and we get behind the chains on our offense and don't do, you know, what we talked about doing at halftime. And it's that drive coming out right after halftime that's so important. We could have stayed on the chains and put the ball in the end zone then and taken the lead. You don't know what happens the rest of that game, but maybe the outcome's different.
Yeah, you take a look at your second half possessions, four possessions in the second half, all drives ending on failed fourth down attempts, but you had the ball at the battle 33, the battle 32, the battle 32, and then the last drive was at your own 28 at the end of the ball game. But again, you were in position to get more points on the board, just didn't happen.
Yeah, like I said, we've got to stay on the chains in order to keep our offense going, and when we get behind the chains, it's not good for what we're doing. When I go back and look at those series, some of it is, you know, I just have to, there's only one guy responsible for all this, that's me. Some of it's just overthinking it, and instead of just doing the basic stuff that we were doing pretty well, overthinking it and not working out.
Back at it on Thursday night. It's been moved from Friday. You'll have a home game now against Fort Zumwalt West in Week 9.
Well, we couldn't travel there, so they agreed to come here on Thursday. So we'll get a Thursday night home game. You know, everybody in our program, doesn't matter what your role is, coach, player, fan, doesn't matter. You've got a choice. You take the last 2 weeks and let it eat you up and have it affect this week, or you can come back out this week and try to find a way to get back on the winning side of things and beat West. So I'm going to choose to come back out and work and try to find a way to beat West, and hope everybody jumps on board with me.
Coach, look forward to the game on Thursday. I was going to say Friday, but it is on Thursday. You'll have a home game at Atkins Stadium against Fort Zumwalt West. Look forward to talking to you on the pregame show on Thursday. Thanks for the visit this morning.
Thank you.
All right, Jefferson City Jays head football coach Scott Bailey back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Now is the time to prepare the money you've saved in your 401k or deferred comp plan to work for you for the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Let Greg help make your retirement everything you imagined. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Go, go! thugs have taken over the entire neighborhood. They took out the Thompsons, the Joneses, and the Smiths.
I don't know how much longer we can hold on.
Calm down, soldier. Reinforcements are on the way. Holy protector of pest control.
Steve's pest control is currently en route.
As the season changes, you may notice spiders, wasps, and mice trying to enter your home. But don't worry, the pros of Steve's Pest Control are ready for battle. Before the fall invasion attacks your property, calmly, quietly, pick up your phone and call us at Steve's Pest Control. We've been protecting businesses, homes, and neighborhoods all over Central Missouri for years, and we can protect yours too. I'm Steve with Steve's Pest Control. We will eliminate your pest problem and stop the fall pest invasion. I guarantee it.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back. We are joined now by Blair Oaks Lady Falcons head softball coach Sharon Bush. Joe's district title on the line at Versailles this afternoon. 1 o'clock is the scheduled start time as Blair Oaks will meet Fatima. Coach, these two teams have met before as far as postseason play is concerned. It's a rivalry game, and this is a big one, isn't it?
It is, and we are definitely familiar with each other, and I like to think, I think we bring out the best in each other. So it'd be a fun game.
Well, you go back to 2014, it was a game against Fatima in the state tournament. 2015 against Fatima in the state tournament. You played them again in the state tournament in 2016, 2017, 2018. You beat Fatima in the districts by a score of 8-0. I mean, these two teams should be very familiar with one another.
Yes, and you know, it's to the point where we just always assume we're going to see each other at some point in time in the postseason. So this year was no different. So, you know, Fatima's excited about it. We're excited about it, and we'll be going to Versailles to play it.
And you have a victory over them October the 1st when you beat the Lady Comets 12-2.
You know, and that was a big win. But at the same time, as we talked about in a practice yesterday, we never expect that type of a score with Fatima. So we always expect a one run game, and we'll be fighting through a tough game today and hopefully get a win.
Number 2 seed in the district. In fact, I mentioned that because California was the top seed, and it was Fatima that took them out in the semifinals 3-2.
It was, and that was a very close game. My assistant coach and I were there watching that and scouting, and it was back and forth, and Fatima does what Fatima does, and they found a way to get a run in the top of the seventh to take the lead and hold them. So they've got... You know, they had a freshman came through for them on that particular hit. So they scrap and fight and find a way. So we'll see what happens today.
Boy, it's been a good week for you. 5-inning game and a victory in the opening round against Eldon. You won 11-0. And then in the district semifinals, another 5-inning game as you beat the host school Versailles 13-0. So you've outscored your opponents 24-0.
Yeah, you know, right now things are going pretty good for us. And the bats, up and down the order, are alive. And, you know, as with, you know, from game to game, day to day, you never quite know, but certainly like how we're swinging the bats right now and play.
Well, you take a look at the lineup, and you've had several players with multi-hit games this week, haven't you?
We have. And, I mean, our last game, it was just a combination of hits and powers. We had 4 home runs, and Andy Siebenek had 2 of those, and a player that has really come on strong is Maddie Besson. She's got like 3 home runs, 15 RBIs in the past 8 games. So, you know, playing well at this stretch of the season is certainly what you want. So we've had some players step up, and good pitching from Alexis Finley, who will start today again in the circle. So it should be good.
Yeah, you take a look at it. When you get to postseason play, then, you know, there's a little bit in terms of nerves because this is potentially the last game of the season every time you step out on the field. But you've taken care of business in both the first 2 games, the district, by scoring runs in the first inning.
Yeah, that's so big. You know, and that's where Ellie Cleethermas, our leadoff batter, has just done a phenomenal job for us this year and just kind of setting the tone early for us. So if we can jump on them early and get some runs, you know, we'll be the home team, the top, you know, the higher seed going into the game. So if we can have a good top of the first and then come in and you know, just put the ball in play and get some hard hits, and that just gives the team so much confidence.
We mentioned 2 shutouts in district, but you've gotten it from different pitchers, haven't you?
We have, and that's what it's been all season for us. So it's been the Alexis Finley, Andy Sivanek, pitching and two number ones. And I've talked to him about that's how we will coexist. And right now Alexis has got the ball. She's our senior and she's going to get it today. And she's been throwing very well. So we're excited about our chances.
Some numbers heading into this game. Fatima averaging 5.5 runs a game. You're averaging just under 8 a contest. Runs allowed, Fatima 4.8 runs a game. Lady Falcons just 1.9 runs per game. So to me, if you take a look at the numbers, the big difference is runs allowed. You're under 2 and they're close to 5.
Right, and that's, you know, for us, obviously, we like to see that continue. But I'm telling you, when it comes to Fatima and us playing, it's just, you know, I think as coach and players, we just know that, well, those are just numbers, and the game itself is going to be, it's going to be a tight game.
So basically, you're telling me throw the October 1 game out the window then.
I am. That was a fun game. I like the results, and I'd love the same results today. And we are capable, but, yeah, it is. It's just throw it out the window because they're going to play their best when they play us, and especially in the postseason.
Give me a key for today's game.
You know, I think just limiting, you know, having some 1-2-3 innings on defense, you know, I think limiting no easy passes, you know, no walks, making them earn it, putting the ball in play. Sounds like we might be dealing with a little bit of wind, good temperatures, a lot of wind. But I think having some 1-2-3 innings in there where we're back in the dugout and ready to hit and putting pressure on them would be the key.
You and I have talked about this over the years. Once you get to postseason play, you're not going to see a lot of double-digit scores. I mean, you did that Tuesday and Thursday with wins over Eldon and Versailles, but that's going to stop pretty quick, isn't it?
It does. It gets tight. It gets tight quick. And, you know, those weren't expected scores either there because I know the Versailles program has certainly improved this year considerably. So you don't, you definitely don't expect those kinds of scores. So, you know, it's those games during the regular season that you played that were tough and tight that you hope, you know, make a difference now when it's the postseason and you're in those same type of tough and tight games.
And as what you've seen this week, you're looking for multi-hit games from several players and a good pitching performance today from Alexis Finley.
Yeah, that would be a great scenario for us because, like I said, we're kind of on all cylinders right now, hitting the ball pretty well and playing some good defense, pitching, catching. Everything is going pretty good, but you still have to execute come game time.
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. Good luck this afternoon.
Thanks, Kevin.
Blair Oaks Lady Falcons head softball coach Sharon Bushjost here. We'll give you the numbers as they get set for that district title game in Versailles at 1 this afternoon. Blair Oaks comes into the game with a mark of 22-6. Fatima is 14-11. On the season again, scheduled first pitch at 1 p.m. at Versailles district title game, Blair Oaks against Fatima. Back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
A fun game, puzzle, or toy is still fun, even if it is educational. Shop Play to Learn at the Capitol Mall October 15th through the 18th for the toy sale. You save 25% off on toys, puzzles, games, and more. Your chance to ignite the imagination of kids of all ages. Because learning and growing is great, especially if it's masked with fun. Save 25% October 15th through the 18th. Find your game at Play to Learn inside the Capitol Mall in Jefferson City.
The cool weather brings with it some good things. Jackets, colorful leaves, no longer having to leave the car windows cracked, and those crisp days when you can smell wood burning somewhere in the distance. But it can also bring the flu. Protect yourself and those around you by getting your flu shot at Roberts Drug Store in Jefferson City so you can enjoy the coming of the cool season the way it was meant to be enjoyed. Flu free. That's the Roberts Drugstore difference. RobertsDrugstoreRx.com.
70% of people in the U.S. who smoke say they want to quit, but quitting is tough. So the Missouri Heart Center reminds you to talk to your primary care physician about getting the help you need to quit smoking. Smoking is the leading cause of cardiovascular disease and causes about 1 in every 5 deaths in the U.S. each year. But it's also the most preventable cause of death. Get help now and don't miss a beat. A message from the Missouri Heart Center. Comprehensive cardiovascular care in the heart of Missouri. MoHeartCenter.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. We are joined now by Helias Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinches. Last night at Ray Hinches Stadium, a victory over Sedalia Smith Cotton for the Crusaders as they moved to 8-0 on the season, 45-3 victory over the Tigers. First of all, congratulations on the win.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, Chris, with the win last night, you clinched the first ever football conference title in the Central Missouri Activities Conference. That's got to be pretty special.
It is. It was certainly one of our goals going into the season. First year of the conference, you know, it's just exciting to be back in a conference and to play well throughout the conference, really from start to finish, and, you know, and to come away with an undefeated conference record and to win the first conference title in football is special.
I want to talk about this for just a moment. Big emotional win for you last Friday night against the Jefferson City Jays in the first ever meeting on the football field between the two schools. And then you had Sedalia Smith Cotton coming up. Sedalia Smith Cotton came into the game last night looking for their first victory of the season, and yet you took care of business, didn't you?
Yeah, we did. You know, we struggled a little bit on Tuesday with practice, and we talked to the boys about that. And, you know, just been around football a long time, and you kind of know after a big emotional game that there tends to be a letdown sometimes. And we challenged the boys not to let that happen. And, you know, Thursday's practice was kind of a wake-up call for all of us to, you know, to make sure that we are focused. And we had a much better Wednesday and Thursday, and we came out and played really well last night. I mean, I think our ones were very dominant in the first half, both offensively and defensively. And, you know, we got out to a, you know, a nice, comfortable 42-0 lead, and we let our second and third unit play the second half. But really proud, you know, especially of our ones on both sides of the ball, the way they played.
As I mentioned just a moment ago, you took care of business. You had a big first half in the football game last night. And again, you have a situation where, again, emotional win the week before. You had a team coming in that was looking for its first victory of the season. And if things don't go well, you may still win the ball game, but then players walk off the field not feeling very good about the situation. And that didn't happen last night with that first half.
No, it didn't. You know, we really challenged them, you know, to play to the championship standard, you know, that we want at Helias. And, you know, it doesn't matter who you're playing, and, you know, it doesn't matter who's on the field, that, you know, we played to the best of our ability, the championship standard, and, you know, I thought we were able to do that last night.
All right, you got on the board first, a seven-play drive, and Cole Stumpy's involved in that one. Took just under, I think, 3 minutes into the ball game, and you're on the board.
Yeah, we ran a little fullback counter. It looks like a little inside reverse, but we've been working on it for a couple of weeks, and we hadn't run it yet, and we thought it was time to go ahead and run that play, and line really did a great job opening up the hole there, and, you know, it was a little misdirection, but you know, Cole's a very talented player. He ran one in last night. He also had one receiving, and, you know, we just continue looking for ways to get him more involved in the offense.
You go up 14-0 on a touchdown pass from Jacob Weaver to Ethan Holzhauser. It ends up being a 53-yard touchdown pass that gives you the lead at 14-0, and you talked about it with Tom Rackers of the Jefferson City News Tribune, but that was a nice spin move by Ethan Holzhauser. I saw that last night.
Yeah, you know, Ethan, the last few weeks, you know, he hasn't been playing much offense. He started the year playing some offense, and as we've developed younger tight ends and we feel a little more comfortable with our depth at that position, moving Quentin Baker from split receiver back into tight end, we really kind of kept Ethan on defense because he's such an important piece there. And he had a whale of a game defensively last night, too. I think he had about four tackles for loss. But I know he wants to play offense, and so we gave him two or three series last night, and he made the most of his opportunities, caught two touchdown passes, that long one that you're talking about. And that's part of an empty concept series that we do that attacks a two-safety defense. And, you know, Jake did a great job of reading it, and, you know, someone's going to come open. It just kind of depends on who that is. And Ethan was open coming down the seam, and Jake put it right on him, and he did the rest from there. And we hit him on a little kind of drag off of a little play action speed option later on. He was able to get two touchdowns. I know he was really excited about that, getting a chance to get in the end zone twice.
You know, after you went up 14-0, special teams were involved, then you're getting two more scores in the first half, wasn't it?
Well, we had two blocked punts. We weren't even trying to block the punt. They were just really slow in their operational time. Their snap was slow. Their punter was slow. And we were just rushing two guys just to make sure he punted it. But I guess one of them was a bobble, scramble around. You know, we tackle him. and the other one was a block. And that gives us short fields. We were able to capitalize on those short fields with quick scores. But, you know, so I thought special teams played really well last night. We were excited in the second half that Vinny got to make a long field goal. And, you know, we had a drive that stalled in the second half, and we were able to get him an attempt at a 45-yard field goal, and he made it. So that was great for his confidence.
You were balanced again last night, especially in the first half. I think you had close to 300 yards of total offense, almost split exactly down the middle between the rush and the pass.
Yeah, we were pretty balanced last night, you know, running the ball inside, outside. And, you know, I was happy with the way we threw our short to intermediate game, which is something we've been trying to work on. And then, we were also able to be more successful in play action and screen. So all the things we really focused on this week in practice, I thought we executed much better offensively.
You know, Coach, you take a look at your defense, and it's played well all season long, but there's three pillars on that defense. I mean, they've all played well, but I look at it as three pillars on defense, and that's Dylan Kopp on the line, your linebackers, Isaac Lopez, and Ethan Holzhauser.
Yeah, I mean, all of them outstanding defensive players, all of them captains on our football team, and that's a testament to the leaders that they are and the players that they are and the respect they have from their teammates, and they just play hard every day. And it doesn't matter, you know, what you ask them to do, you know, whether it's long snapping on a punt team for Ethan or coming in and filling a role offensively or, you know, doing their job on the defensive side. You know, Isaac and Ethan are probably two of the finest pair of linebackers that we've had at Helias in a long, long time, if not all time. And, you know, two guys that just have a nose for the football. And, you know, they're there in the right spots all the time. And Dylan on the defensive line, he is so quick, and see, he's so hard to block at the point of attack. And we do a lot of movement up front. You know, we don't just stand toe-to-toe with them. So we'll slant them, we'll angle them. We're going to try to get penetration in the backfield, and Dylan really excels at that. You know, he's able to get in the backfield, find the football, make any quick adjustments he needs to make, and also get tackles for losses. You know, him and Ethan have a ton of tackle for losses, but you know, they're certainly the anchors, and we've got a lot of good defensive players, and I hate focusing on those three, but, you know, they have been the heart of our defense the last 2 years, and, you know, certainly having quite a season this year.
You know, taking a look at those three, I was thinking about this driving into the station this morning. I go back to 1998 when Phil Pitts was on the defensive line for the Helias Crusaders when you beat Ozark for the state title, and you had a couple of real good linebackers that year, I believe.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. You know, Jason Van Loo certainly was a big linebacker and big physical linebacker for that football team. You know, we as coaches, sometimes we compare teams. You know, we were talking about, you know, compare teams and compare players. That's a lot of fun for us, you know, after the game or after practice. And we like talking about, you know, teams of the past, compare them to the teams of the present. And each team is unique, and, you know, each team has its strengths. And, you know, this is a special football team that we have this year. And, you know, I love their work ethic every day, the way they come to practice, and their camaraderie, you know, really a brotherhood of players, and they're playing for each other. They're playing for their school. You know, just couldn't be prouder of what they've been able to do this year.
And football players look to what has happened in the past, don't they?
They do. They do. And they like to compare themselves and chase down records, and, you know, they want to make their mark, you know, and that's what you want. You want a bunch of kids who want to make their mark on history. You know, and they want to be remembered as one of the best teams in Helias history, and that's the kind of team that you want to coach.
All right, next Friday night, for a while it looked like you may have been open on week 9, but you have a team, St. Louis Cardinal Ritter, coming down to Ray Hinches Stadium. The Lions are 0-2 on the season, but there are two losses. They've just played two games in back-to-back weeks. They had not played before last week, and their two losses are to Francis Howell and to Jackson. Lost to Jackson last night, 56-32. But those two teams that they've played are exceptional football programs.
Yeah, they are. They are. We understand what we have. I mean, what we have coming in on Friday night, we've lost to Cardinal Ritter the last two seasons. Very explosive, unbelievably fast, one of the best receivers in the country, who I believe is just committed to Oklahoma last week. You know, they're going to come in with a tremendous amount of speed and experience in the skill positions. You know, if there's a place where they're a little bit young and inexperienced, is in the offense and defensive line. They're huge, though. We were able to watch their game with Francis Howell. I haven't been able to watch their last night game yet, but I mean, they are massive up front, and they have a quarterback. He's a new starter for them. You know, their quarterback they've had the past two seasons could really throw it and run it. This kid seems to be more of a running threat. He's not quite the passer that the other quarterback was, but they come in with a lot of experience of running back. You know, that was a 1,000-yard rusher. So we're going to have our hands full. It's a game that, you know, we've been working on for a couple of weeks, and we were able to get them to come to our place, which is great. Another home game for us. But I think it's a game we really need because we're going to have Week 10 off as the first seed in district. Mm-hmm. We couldn't have 2 weeks off. That would just kill us and kill the momentum of the team. And I think this is going to be a really good test. This may be the fastest football team that we're going to play all season. And it'll be good for us to have this severe test in Week 9.
Coach, congratulations on the win last night and capturing the conference football crown. And we will see you Friday night at Ray Hinchcliffe Stadium when you take on the Lions.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right, Helias Crusaders head football coach Chris Hinchcliffe. Again, the final scores in Week 8 involving the area teams. Columbia battle over Jefferson City last night, 39-21. It was Helias over Sedalia Smith-Cotton, 45-3. And Blair Oaks beat Southern Boone by a score of 42-21. Thursday night, the Jays will host Fort Zumwalt West. We'll have it for you starting at 6:30 right here on KWOS. Friday night, Helias will host Cardinal Ritter. We'll have that one as well at 6:30. Blair Oaks is at home Friday to take on Osage. And we're out of time. We'll see you next week on The Coach's Show.
News Radio 950, KWOS, and on FM at 104.5, KWOS Jefferson City, K283CL Jefferson City. It's 8 o'clock.